We're going to do cleaning up your environment. That's the next video. Let me get it brought up.
I'm a big believer in setting up your environment for as much success as possible with weight loss. But what I see most is people do a big-ass food purge of their house from a shitty mindset. For example, have you ever thrown out all the bad foods because you're out of control when you're around them? Or have you had to keep trigger foods in your house because it's what your family loves, but underneath, you're seething because everyone is making weight loss harder on you? You see, the problem isn't whether you're going to keep the food or not. The problem is you think food is the real problem for weight loss instead of how you're talking to yourself about food. Now, I'm a big believer that to lose weight, you got to quit being an asshole to yourself. And being an asshole to yourself comes down to how you talk to yourself before you make decisions like purging the food out of your house. But before I can teach you how to clean up your environment for weight loss, we're going to have to clean up how you talk to yourself about the environmental cleanup first. Otherwise, you'll just remove your trigger foods believing something's wrong with you instead of teaching yourself that you're more powerful than you currently give yourself credit for. Back when I was losing weight, I knew chips were hard for me to have around the house. I always hoovered the bag if I ever tried to eat just a reasonable amount. One day, I was thinking about if we should keep chips in the house or not. In past diets, I would tell my husband, we got to get rid of this shit because I can't control myself around them. Just thinking about how out of control I was around food, it felt so true. But it also felt horrible to think. I thought I was broken or like something was wrong with me because I couldn't eat a serving of chips like a fucking normal person. What I realized is I had to quit talking about chips like they were controlling me. Chips, in reality, they couldn't control me, but I knew I wasn't good at controlling myself yet around them. The problem was never the chips. The problem was I wasn't clearly stating the problem. And when the problem isn't clear, neither is the solution. When I realized I needed to learn how to control myself, it dawned on me that I needed to develop patience and understanding of how I talked and acted around food. And cleaning up my food environment might give me time to learn how to be more in control of my thinking and eating. Instead of telling myself I'm out of control around chips, I reframed my thinking. The new truth I focused on was, I'm going to set myself up for success. I decided to not buy chips for 1 month so I could make weight loss a little easier on myself. Now, talking like that felt refreshing and empowering. It felt like I was doing something for myself instead of doing something to myself, like my old pantry purges where I tossed shit I thought was too hard to be around. And this is key. When you do an environmental cleanup, you don't want to do it from a mindset that fosters brokenness, helplessness, or restriction. Otherwise, when you bring the food back, you are still thinking the food has power over you instead of you realizing you just need to relearn how to eat these foods so you can enjoy them and lose weight. For me, there were some foods I could keep in the house without it being too hard. But some foods, I needed some space so that I could get better at listening to my body, being okay with stopping it enough when I ate, and gaining some momentum in my weight loss. The first thing we must do is address how you talk and think about trigger foods to begin with. Look, you are not weird, you are not crazy, and you are not broken if you have foods you believe control you. So many diets that you've done falsely taught you that there are good foods and bad foods. When diets focus on food as the problem, they ignore the real issues like eating to fit in and have fun, overeating to relax or push through stress, or eating simply to get your money's worth. The way you talk to yourself about food and your decisions is going to dictate how easy or hard weight loss will be for you. It's important that when you make decisions around food, that you first listen to your thinking about it. So often we do things like removing food that tempts us from a place of punishment or restriction. Look, you can't heal your relationship with food and improve the relationship with yourself doing shit like that. To lose weight and never gain it back, you must be improving the relationship with yourself and food the entire time you're losing weight. Otherwise, you force yourself to do things by talking to yourself like an asshole. And eventually, you just need a break from you. And when you take a break, you typically do it with your favorite foods while still only believing that this food controls me. So let's break this cycle. Let's tell ourselves a new story. You're not out of control around certain foods. There are just foods you might want to break from so you can reset your relationship with them and yourself. You're not getting rid of foods because they're bad. You're focusing on foods right now that help you reestablish trust with your eating so you can bring those foods back when you're stronger and you're ready. I want you to start doing things for yourself that come from love. Diets don't focus on this. And I promise the more you learn how to talk better to yourself, you'll feel so much more in control and empowered in your weight loss. Now, there were foods I never removed from my house, like ice cream, because my son and husband wanted to keep eating them. I didn't think they don't support me or they're making shit hard for me. I wanted to think that, but again, I realized that type of thinking made my weight loss hard, so I changed it. Since we were keeping ice cream, I had to find ways to think that helped me instead of hindering me. I decided any small change I made was going to be good enough until I figured out how to eat ice cream without overeating it. First, I switched from eating out of the carton to putting ice cream in a big-ass bowl. That was my first step at some type of portion control. Then I decided to serve myself just a little less over a few weeks. It took a little time, but eventually I was able to eat a small portion of ice cream without feeling like it wasn't enough or guilty. I taught myself that it was awesome that I could eat ice cream each night if I wanted to. And today, I rarely ever eat ice cream at home anymore, even though we keep cartons all the time. I've just taught myself that ice cream is fine to eat. So just have it when you truly want it and will enjoy it. So success in weight loss is going to come down to the reasons behind what you're doing. And you are always in control of your reasons. Now, let me give you some practical tips for setting up not only your food environment, but some other changes you can make to make your weight loss just a little bit easier. First, I want you to identify the foods in your house that are currently hard for you. Decide if you are going to keep them around or not. Remember, you aren't getting rid of foods because something's wrong with you. You are choosing to give yourself some space to gain confidence and momentum in your weight loss. Then you're going to reintroduce these foods later when you're ready to practice having them mindfully instead of uncontrollably. Next, you can keep some of your foods but choose to portion them ahead of time. This gives you a chance to create intentional pauses before eating more. Now, I do this with nuts. It's easy for me to eat a handful of nuts without hardly even thinking about it. So when I get home from the store, I immediately portion them into small bags. I allow myself one bag at a time. If I want more, I can have it. But that also means I got to get my ass up, go back to the pantry to get that other bag. And it's a lot easier to stop eating when you have to get up and think all the way to the pantry, do I really need this? Another thing you can do is make your trigger foods just harder to find. For example, many of my Nobius women, they don't keep wine out. They don't want to have to stare at the bottle every night when they're tired. By keeping the wine tucked away on a high shelf, it doesn't talk to them as much as if it was laying on the counter. Now, some other ways to help you environmentally outside of food is to make your daily habits easier to do. You can keep water by your bed like I do. So you drink some first thing in the morning instead of just trying to remember to get that water started. Maybe you want to work out in the mornings. It's a lot easier to get going if you don't have to find your workout clothes. You can sleep in them like I do, or just lay them out so they're easy to find. For Minobius women, keep your planner in the same place you drink your coffee. Keeping it out means it's never out of sight. It's a lot easier to do things that you can see. And last, you might need to do a human environmental cleanup. So what does this mean? It means going through your social and unfollowing companies and friends who send the wrong weight loss messages. Unfollow your friends and accounts who are bashing their body or promoting the latest diet hacks. Unsubscribe from those weight loss companies who send you hundreds of emails a month just trying to lure you back. As you clean up your environment, just remember this. You might need to add support in too. Inside NoBS, we do this for you. Make sure you've signed up for an accountability partner or group. You can also do the relationship inventory that helps you see who in your current life is in your corner and where you might need support to help you lose weight. But just know this, the best way to lose weight is to learn how to set yourself up for true success. By cleaning up your mind and your environment, you'll be making weight loss so much easier on yourself. No more getting rid of everything you love. Let's trade that in for learning how to love on yourself.
All right. Oops. Hang on. I lost the screen. Well, I keep trying to do it. What we're going to do now is we're not going to actually go over the environmental cleanup worksheet. It's pretty self-explanatory. So I just want you to do that one on your own. We are going to jump over. I was trying to think if there was anything. Yeah, this is very self-explanatory. What I really wanted to do, though, is talk about one concept before I get into the coaching, and then we're going to move on to the 60-day plan. And that is this one, and it's very simple. A lot of you keep saying, well, I'm going to take this away because I know it controls me. You have to quit saying food controls you or I can't control myself around food. Those two sentences are not helpful. And they're not true. And let me tell you how I know they're not true. For every time, let's say there was chips, all right? Number one, there's no way that a bag of chips ever sprouted legs, ran its little ass onto the couch, opened itself up magically, sent out elves to pry your mouth open, and then pour itself down your throat. It feels as if it does because you have thoughts like, I can't control myself. It talks to me and stuff. The more accurate way to say it is this, and this will help you in your future weight loss, is rather than saying, certain foods control me, is to start now saying, foods have never controlled me, but I haven't really known how to control myself around them yet. Which is still true. Now, here's the other thing that y'all say, which is, I can't control myself around cookies, sugar. I'm a sugar addict. You say things like that. I am not going to sit here and argue science or anything about like the chemical effects of sugar and stuff. Here's what I do know, though, after years and years and years of coaching thousands of people. No one has ever felt good labeling themselves as out of control or an addict around food. And when we don't feel good about ourselves, we feel panicky, urgent, nervous, anxious, scared, and fearful around the foods. And here's what I also know. Whenever we feel panicky, urgent, fearful, nervous, anxious around foods, we tend to eat to get away from feeling those things. So it's not a helpful environment for you. The more accurate thing to describe is rather than saying, I can't control myself around food, is to tell the truth. at some point, I have always quit eating them. Sometimes I run out of the food, but I don't go to the store and get more. Sometimes I run out of the food. I go to the store, I get more, but I don't go back for a second trip. At some point, you always have enough self-control to stop. So it's not that you can't, it's that we have to learn how to stop sooner. We have to learn why we want to keep eating them so we can give ourselves our real needs so that food doesn't have to keep fulfilling those. So if you're eating stuff at night because you feel exhausted because you go, go, go all the day, and then when it's time and everything quiets down and your brain goes haywire on what you should do, what you didn't accomplish for the day, how you should be helping your partner, how you should have more energy, or how you fucked up through the day, you're not eating because chips have control over you or you're addicted to sugar. You're eating because you don't know how to relax. You haven't taught yourself how to take breaks, maybe speak up for yourself during the day. Maybe you haven't taught yourself how to be a woman who has a job, comes home, takes care of kids, and doesn't have to apologize for being tired and needing a night off. So we want to make sure that we don't use words like food controls me. We want to say things like that food has never sprouted legs and force-fed itself on me. There have just been times where I felt like food was the only option in the moment. Sometimes, like maybe I just need to teach myself there's more options than food. All right. I just wanted to say that because it's super important. Let's go to coaching on the 60-day plan. So we are going to be jumping to pages 13 and 14 in your book. Amelia Davis, come on down. You're the next coaching contestant on how to lose weight in 2023. And then you're going to be doing your worksheet, y'all, while I'm coaching Amelia. All right, Amelia, how are you?
Hey, happy new year, Corinne. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. All right, let's go through your worksheet. And so have you already done it or are we doing it together?
I've actually already done it.
Okay, perfect. Let's just go through your stuff and then let me coach you on anything that we need to coach. And then we will go from there. So in 60 days, you will weigh or lose what?
I want to lose 5 to 6 pounds.
Okay, which is it, 5 or 6?
6.
Okay. This is important because I watch a lot of you give a range. Y'all, do not give yourself ranges. Just give yourself the number that you want to go for so that your brain is not like having to do that as you get closer. Like, well, I don't know. Am I going to get there? Blah, blah, blah. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should. You don't want to set yourself up for all that hesitation. Just want to give yourself the goal. And then as you get closer and closer to it, you just want to say, like, my job is to believe in myself and pump until the last minute. So whenever your brain wants to start any kind of other chatter or do anything else, like my job, my only job here is to believe up until the last minute that I'm going to do everything I can to meet my goal. And then at the end, we will know if I, like, I'll know, did I do everything I can? Did I not? I will learn from all of it and I will move on to the next goal setting thing. Okay. Over 60 days, I will teach myself to think these things every time old me thinking comes up about what do you got for your body?
I put down, I am learning to love and take care of my body so that it will take me on adventures for the rest of my life.
Okay. How does that feel?
It maybe feels slightly too cheery. I don't know if that's.
Well, I was wondering, because that sounds very clinical. Like I could never see me sitting around going, I am learning to blah, 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 blah. Like what is like an insta thought you could have about your body?
It has borne 2 beautiful, healthy children.
Okay. What else? Like, I want you to think about this.
So when I say,
go ahead.
So I think what I meant by that is, like I'm a former orthopedics nurse. I've seen a lot of hip and knee replacements and whatnot. So I can see that how taking care of my body now will maybe prevent some of that in the future, if that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. How about taking care of my body is my best preventative medicine?
Sure. Perfect.
Like I always like, this is what I like to think about for all of you. I think when we do these worksheets, we try to sound very professional.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, this is what I really need. When it comes to some battling old me thinking, I need to think like old me is going to be dug in. She is going to be like, bitch, you suck. Like she's got like her opinion and I've got to be able to say something in that moment that resonates and lands. So I'll tell you what I wrote for my body. I put my body and mind does better when I stop talking shit about it. Like, that's what I choose to tell myself when I have shitty thoughts is like, I do better when I'm not talking smack. Let's stop. Okay. What about your weight? What's your thought there?
So I put the number on the scale is not a reflection of who I am as a person. I'm learning to like myself and the scale will eventually prove my thought work efforts.
How does that feel?
I mean, well, part of like I joined No BS a few months ago and part of what I love about it is the thought work because I'm learning a new way to talk to myself. I mean, I've been talking to myself like a jackass since I was in middle school and just no one taught me thought work. And I think about, you know, had I known all this stuff, how much happier I would have been through all those years. And the scale has been such a reflection of who I am and what kind of mood would set for the day. So I am working on, you know, the thought work as far as.
Well, just tell me this. What do you want to think about your weight? Like as of today, what do you want to think about it?
I want to think that it's neutral, that it's just a number, so to speak.
Is that really all you want to think about your weight? It's just a number. Yeah. I think a lot of us say that, but I don't know if that like ultimately that's what we want to think.
Oh gosh. I don't know. I just want to see it go down.
And why? Why do you want it to go down?
So that it proves to me that it's working.
Okay. How about every time you see your weight, you challenge yourself to say, like, here's what I believe about my weight. Everything I'm doing is working. This is working in some way. What am I doing today to get this to work?
The pathway I took, the quiz I took, it said to take that course first, the stalls and plateaus and conquering the scale. So,
yeah. There'll be a lot of really good information there. But one of the things I just notice is that your thought work is, and all of us do this. It's like in the early days when we start learning how to think like the new me. We're trying to think like the new me as if she is enlightened and she's writing a book that's going to be like in Wikipedia instead of a conversation you're willing to have with yourself. Like if your current voice beats you up, then you've got to have a compassionate voice, not a clinical one.
Right.
So like if you're saying like one of the things with weight is, like, I just want to see it go down. Then that's why I asked the whole why. And it's because you're just like, I just want to know things are working. That's what you really want. So the best way to do that is to figure out, like, how many times can I tell myself this is working and here's how I know it is. And for somebody who's working on the scale, that means, and this is the challenge I had that I had, which is whether it's up, down or the same, I have to figure out what is the conversation I have with myself to say, like, but things are working. And here's how I know how they are, because my brain is going to want to tell me if I'm maintaining or if it's not going or if it's going up, that somehow all of this is over. It's not working. It's a catastrophe. It's all these things. My job was to learn how to, when I was losing weight, because so I always draw this, but it's amazing to me how many people in how many of us grown fucking women don't even understand this. When you are losing weight, this is what weight loss really does look like. It goes up and it goes down. It goes up and it goes down. It trends down. And so these moments when we have spikes and plateaus, you better fucking be prepared to believe it's working, not to believe something's wrong with you. Because the only way you'll keep moving forward to get things to eventually continue to go down is to understand how your body works, how to not throw yourself under the bus, how not to say like one overeat must, you know, oh my God, I gained 5 pounds. Like you have to unlearn that version of you that catastrophizes and makes everything a shit show in these moments, because the only people who lose weight, they lose weight like this, which means their weight loss success was because they got better in the shitty moments, not because they went backward, not because they gave up, not because they quit, not because they beat themselves up, because they decided to show up harder in these moments. Okay.
Absolutely.
My answer was, when I take care of me, I'm doing the best for my weight. I know that wholeheartedly. Whenever I'm like taking care of me, I'm like aware of how I'm thinking about me. I talk better to me. It's never it never falls lightly on me that the more I've ever talked better to myself and taken care of myself, the healthier that I've been. What about food? What is your, when your old thinking comes up around food, what do you want to tell yourself?
That I have a lot of diet trauma. I'm a former Weight Watchers lifetime member. I put down, I can eat whatever I want as long as I plan it and eat it in a way that honors hunger and satiety.
How's that feel?
That actually feels very good to me. I love the fact that whatever I want on this, and I don't have to eat black beans and non-fat Greek yogurt and corn all day.
Oh my God. That actually sounds good. I love corn. I have this like Mexican street corn salad I eat all the time. I put down, I'm here for making this easy. Like when my brain's trying to make it hard, I'm just like, I'm here for making it easy. And I ask myself, how am I making food easy on me today? Because my old diet brain likes to make food hard. I still like to tell myself stories. So that's the one I put down. What about the future? When your old you starts thinking, what is future you? Like, what is your new thinking?
I put down, I'm learning a new way to lose weight this time. This can be the easiest and last time that I lose weight.
Okay. And then mine was, tomorrow's success determined one tiny decision at a time. It's not about my past. It's not with huge and hard changes. It's just a collection of small decisions that add up. Okay. What are 10 small things that you can get better and better at over the next 60 days to make your weight loss easy?
Okay, I don't really put myself in some part. I put down, eat half of my meals at restaurants, pause halfway through my meals, leave 2 bites behind specifically at dinner,
okay,
myself on a smaller plate, forego chips and salsa, and Mexican restaurants. Review my plan daily right before I pick my kids up from car line, and drink water before each meal. So that was 7. I'm having a hard time in the last 3.
All right, I'll give you mine and then you can see if there's anything that you would like. I put take water to the gym and drink while I work out. I was thinking I might try that because I normally don't do that. Get my Uller hooked up so I can control the temperature of my bed overnight, because I wake up really hot. So I wanted to do some sleep stuff. My last one broke, so I had to get a new one. Leave at least one bite of food behind at all of my meals, just to re-break the habit of cleaning my plate, because I've been kind of back into the habit of just eating like whatever, like portions that I have. So I've just decided like, hey, I want to really get back to leaving a bite behind. So I don't forget, I don't always have to clean my plate. I put create a list of self-development that I want to finish. So I'm not spending time thinking about what to study or spending time like, you know, diet, like researching and all that kind of stuff. Not that I do a lot of that more for y'all, but still I know my past self would like, if I didn't have self-study, I would just stay in this habit of reading about more diets. See if I had anything else. Oh, I put put the skinny cows in the outside freezer and tell Logan that's where they're going to be. Because I am really lazy and I don't need a skinny cow at night. I know I don't need one at night. And that's one of the things I'm like wanting to get out of the habit of. And Logan loves them. So we're keeping them in the house. And so I thought, well, I'll move that shit to the outside fridge because like Corinne is not going to the cold ass garage to get it. That was pretty much most of mine. So is there anything else you can add to yours from that or?
I like the idea of, I like wine. So I like the idea and I like it chilled. So I like the idea of maybe not putting wine in the refrigerator until I've planned it like that morning.
Okay. Already, that's a good one.
Yeah, if it's already in there, you know, I'm more likely to go get some when it's not planned. And then the one you were saying about self-development, and I'm bad about starting one book and then going to another book before I finish, being really intentional about what I'm going to read for the week or what podcasts I'm going to listen to.
Yeah. There is something interesting that you brought up, and that is for all of you. And that is one of the best ways to either break habits or start habits is to make them like for heart. Like if you want to break a habit, put as many like what I call speed bumps between you and the thing as you can, or if you're trying to form a habit, make as many easy steps as possible to get there. You know, for me, one of the reasons why I love the wine thing is it's, you just know you and I know me. If, let's say there's unfinished wine in the fridge, I now have set myself up to have to negotiate with myself the next day to not drink it up. So like, I don't drink at home anymore, but this was when I first started breaking the habit of drinking at home. I only drink when I go out now because I really dialed into my drinking and it was like, I like the experience. It's not the wine. And so, and I liked the experience of me and Chris and stuff. And I just realized, I don't even think we like drinking at home that much. We started both talking about it and we started realizing we don't enjoy it near as much at home as we do like going someplace, dressing up a little bit and having quiet time. So when we first started this though, and this was during COVID, I would open a bottle of wine and I would know, because Chris doesn't drink wine, and I would know like, I'm only going to drink two glasses. And after a while I was like, all right, here's my penalty tax. Like I'm not paying for a bottle of wine. I am paying for my two glasses now. And so when I would finish my two glasses, I poured the rest of the wine down the drain. Because I knew if I put that wine up, the next day I would want it. And then I'd have to spend the day telling myself that it wasn't wasteful. Like I wanted to save myself so much heartache. And so like thinking of ways to make things easier on yourself so that, because you know parts of you, like the old you thinking, how many ways can you set it up to where old you doesn't even have to get triggered sometimes? So what of the three are you going to do?
Well, I love that part in particular about what you just said about throwing it away. I've never even thought about that because it will just, and this is just a thought, but it will just call my name the next day if I don't finish it. So
well, maybe, for sure, we can just expect that. I don't think that's a weakness. I don't think there's anything wrong. Like,
yeah. So that's great. Maybe just pouring out half the bottle before even starting. That's perfect. I love that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, now let's move on to the next set, or you can pick your other two that you're going to do, but now let's think about your diet crutches. What are you going to immediately delete, pause, or take a break from for the next 60 days?
My first one I put down was the Facebook groups. So I have one Facebook group in particular that I love. It's the Skinny Taste Recipe Facebook group. And I actually love her recipes. So I'm part of that Facebook group. And cooking is actually kind of one of my hobbies. But there's a lot of diet chatter on there about, you know, new Weight Watchers plans, this, that, and the other. And it's not going to be something I can necessarily avoid. So maybe just avoiding those specific threads when I see them go through, and or just reframing my thoughts about them. Like, I'm just going to, you know, I don't have to do that just because all these people are.
You can always pause that group for 30 days. Here's what I think. If it was me, this would be my thing. I just leave groups like that. I just, like, when I think about my future self, like, if I, like, let's say I'm your future self, you're just like, I just want to be like Corinne. Like, everything seems so effortless. Like, she just has all these plans and nothing ever seems to bother her. And her attitude is so good. Because Corinne doesn't belong to groups like that anymore. I don't read diet chat. It was like, sometimes this work is hard for me because I have cut out so much of this stuff. I'm like, well, it's no fucking wonder I think differently now, because I'm not listening to all this crap all around me all the time. Like, I would love to be able to go into my Facebook and, like, love what I see, not have to worry about somebody, like, taking a Weight Watchers dump right on my feed. So if you love skinny taste, come visit her blog.
Yeah.
Where all her recipes are stored.
Yeah. I guess I just like posting, like, people post their recipes and what they've made. And I don't know. I enjoy doing that.
You know, we have a Facebook group for foodies where they talk the food all the time. You could be doing it there.
Okay. I didn't know that. That's great.
Join our foodies. They're some foodie bitches, man.
Put it down on Instagram to involve the pictures people. For people to stop talking to about diet culture, I put down my mom. She's also a Weight Watchers person, and she's just set in her ways. She's in her early 60s, and she's just always going to be a she's always a Weight Watchers member. I've told her about no BS, and she doesn't want to talk about it. So whatever, that's on her. But I've told her, I'm like, I'm not going back to Weight Watchers. I just cannot put myself in another diet. So, and then my best friend, she's also not necessarily Weight Watchers, but just always bitching and moaning about how much weight she has to lose, or, you know, how she fucked up the day, whatnot. And I'm like, there's better things to talk about. Mm-hmm. And then for the fake foods, I put down fat-free Greek yogurt. I hate it. I love full-fat Greek yogurt, though. I eat it all the time as a snack.
Yeah, me too.
Free. So it's not satiating to me at all. I put down for my goal weight clothes, I can move all my old goal weight clothes to the guest bedroom closet just to get them out of sight, out of mind. I'm not ready to get rid of them right now because some of them I still like, and I'd hope to, you know, maybe by the summer be in some of those. So, for when old diet mentality comes up, what are you going to tell yourself instead? I'm so glad I never have to go on a diet again. No BS is such a happier way to lose weight.
Okay. All right. Let me give you a few things that I had put down. So for Instagram and TikTok, I unfollow anyone who bitches about anything. If you're bitching, I'm out. And clothing companies that overly focus on ultra thin bodies, I have unfollowed all of those accounts. If you're a clothing company that doesn't spotlight bodies of all size and accommodate bodies of all size, I try not to follow you. Like, if they sneak into my threads and I'm like, ooh, it's another unfollow. I also put people to stop talking to about diet culture. I put my grandmother on my dad's side, who always asked me about Weight Watchers, and my older friends. My grandmother, she's in her 80s, but she still talks about Weight Watchers all the time. And then going through those clothes, I think is really important. I just believe that we should walk into our closet and it shouldn't feel like an assault. It shouldn't feel like a reminder of what's missing in our life or what we used to be or what we hope and aspire to be one day. If I'm going to hope and aspire, I don't want it to be because clothes are triggering it. I want it to be because I'm sitting down with a piece of paper and deliciously dreaming about everything that I'm doing for myself and who I'm on a course to become. I don't need my clothes to help me with that. So what did you say when old bat mentality comes up? What are you going to tell yourself?
Just how much happier that no BS is to lose, you know, it's a happier place to lose weight. I don't have to go on a diet ever again. Just this is a whole new way for me. I've never, you know, it's just amazing. So
I'm so glad I noticed these thoughts now. It's easier to, say no when you're hearing them. And then how will I know I'm making success in my weight loss outside of progress on the scale?
I'll quit obsessing about the weight loss and instead be thinking about new hobbies I want to pursue. And, also my habit tracker numbers will improve.
Yeah. Okay. And then how will you know when it's time to try new things or make a few more small changes to keep losing weight?
I put down when I have more successful urge worksheets completed than discovery worksheets. Or I guess that should have been vice versa. I guess when I have more discovery worksheets completed than successful urge worksheets, I know it's time to make some changes. And when my habit tracker is showing that I'm following the basics, four basics, 90% of the time.
I put down, I'll see myself easily doing the things I started with. And I'll believe in myself a little bit more. I'll be able to see my wins. And when I can see wins, I'm probably going to feel some momentum. That was the biggest things that I always have known that I'm ready for the next change is when this change starts to feel a little bit easier and I start acknowledging myself for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want any coaching? Is there anything that you're unclear of, nervous about, and that you need help with?
Really just stopping at enough. I've got the waiting for hunger down pretty well. Stopping at enough, especially at night. And when we go out to eat a lot as well, we go out 3 to 4 times a week, probably. And stopping at enough at restaurants is hard for me.
Why is it? Because it's not hard to do it at restaurants. There's a thought that you have about restaurants.
The food tastes good and I don't want to waste my money.
Okay, let's just start with, so the food is going to taste good. Otherwise you wouldn't go. Maybe let me say, like, I've got an easy fix. I think you should go to restaurants where the food tastes like sawdust. The whole point of my weight loss program is for you to be able to go and have food that tastes good. So you're not eating it because it simply just tastes good. You're eating it probably because when you're sitting there, it's all about this money issue. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, every single thing in the world that tastes good to you, you would always have to overeat it if you overate simply because something tastes good. At some points, you decide to stop.
Right.
So tell me, why is it wasteful?
I think, I don't know if it's some kind of underlying belief. Like, I used to be a single mom and, you know, money was very tight and I never would have wasted food back then. And, you know,
is it wasted? But here's the thing, you keep saying that it's wasteful.
Yeah.
That's the painful thought, is that when you go out to eat and you've ate enough that from this moment forward, we are now in waste zone. Anything I don't eat is a waste. Instead of anything that I don't eat after this, my body just doesn't need it.
So I did put down, and I have done this a few times, and this is really helpful. I put down, I can ask my server when I order my drink to go box ahead of time and go ahead and pack half of it up. And then I just eat it for lunch the next day.
Yeah, you could do that. Or we could quit calling it wasteful.
Yeah, it's actually kind of economical. That's more economical to do it that way because I get two meals.
Right. Go. My cat just fished a bunch of shit out of the trash can and started having a party underneath my desk. But this is what I'm talking about. Like when you just sit there, I'm going to get a to-go box so I don't waste food versus I'm going to get a to-go box because that would actually be more economical. It's a big level up.
Yeah.
Now, what if you can't get a to-go box? What if you're someplace and it's like, oh, we don't do that at this restaurant, or you're on vacation and you don't have a refrigerator. Now what? Now you got to have another thought, because that day's coming and all that's going to happen is old shitty's going to come back. It's like, well, now at home, this works. It's economical, but here we're right back to wasting food. We should eat it. Should waste this right along on our ass.
Well, like, I really hate the way overeating makes me feel physically. I really have recognized that. I think I need to come to a thought where I'm reminding myself that more is not going to make it better. It doesn't make it taste any better the more I eat. That's a good question. Never thought about that. I haven't been in that situation yet.
What is the real waste?
The stunt in progress.
All those clothes sitting in that gold closet of yours.
True. Yeah.
There's one.
Yeah, absolutely.
The stunt in progress is a huge one. Do you ever, like, let me ask you this. When you go to a restaurant or any time that you're like, well, at least I didn't waste the food. Do you wake up the next day and be like, I skated by another one. I'm so glad I stuffed myself, because I sure as hell wouldn't want to be wasting food.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. What is your thoughts about that food the next day?
I wish I hadn't eaten that much. I feel like crap. I had heartburn all night.
Yeah. So we have the choice. We can decide to quit wasting our life all because of some fake ass idea that this few bucks I'm going to, like, I don't even know where this money's coming from. This is the other thing that I always tell myself. Like when I think about, like, well, it's so wasteful. I'm like, so are you going to send the steak back and they're going to give you like 50 bucks? But when we pay, this is for all of you. When you go out to eat, especially, you are not paying for the food. What you're paying for is the booth you sit in, the person who brings it to you, the hot water that is required to clean your dishes so that you don't have to, the parking lot maintenance to make sure that you have a car that you can park in and walk your ass easily to get home. So a lot of times, like, I always like to remind myself, oh, I was never paying for a steak. I was never paying for chicken or a burger. I'm paying for an experience. And I'm also paying, like, an emotional toll every time I confuse myself on thinking that I should take food and treat my mouth as the trash can.
Yeah, absolutely. I could think of it as a form of self-care that I was able to go out with my family that night and not have to cook. Not have to clean up.
Yeah. You paid for that. Mm-hmm. You paid for a break.
Absolutely.
That's why it's really important that we work on these thoughts we have around food. Because it's easy to say, I'll get a to-go box. And those are good tricks and those are good hacks. But at the end of the day, it's got to mean more. Or you're just going to be like, ah, fuck that trick. Fuck that hack. I'm just going to want to, like, let me just eat this. Cause then that's when your brain will go back to, and it tastes good. If we don't have that whole wasting food thing, then when your brain just says, this tastes so good, this allows you to also say, like, yeah, and I'm here because this is self-care. Part of self-care is not going home with regrets. I want to be able to go out to eat even more often. And part of that means that if I'm overeating every time, I'm not going to be able to go out to eat as near as often as I want to care for myself. So learning that this is all about my self-care, learning that it's not just about how the food tastes. I'm just very grateful that I get to eat food that I do like and lose weight. That's the level of conversations that we want to start having around it. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All righty. All right. We have a couple of questions. We have, what if I'm in my 60s and 70s like Amelia's mom? Can I still change? Yes. So if you are one of my members here who are in your 60s and 70s and you have changed, please, will you post? So let me just say this. I don't believe Amelia's mom will never change. That's Amelia's thoughts about her mom, but that's for Amelia to have about her mother. My mother is in her 60s and has lost over 120 pounds. I got all my diet mentality from her. I grew up with her in Weight Watchers. I grew up with her trying every fucking diet and doing all the things and that kind of stuff. I watched my mom do physician's weight loss and lose her hair and all kinds of stuff. And it wasn't until the 60s did my mother decide, she started listening to some of my stuff. I've been doing this for a long time. She didn't listen to shit. She finally started listening to a little bit of it. She's like, she literally told me this one day. She was like, I just got to tell you, I started listening to your stuff. You make fucking sense. And I was like, you think? So it's never too late. I have members in here who have been losing weight and they're in their 70s. We have some that have been in their 80s. Anybody can change. It's a decision. No person and their thinking and the way they are is just set in the stone. If you have a desire to change, you just need to be taught how to do it. That's the missing piece. It's not, can you change? It's, have you been taught how to make this kind of change? Probably not. I feel like sometimes the only person, I feel like that little canary in the coal mine, like, so it's just a matter of if you have the desire, I just want you to think for a moment. That means I can. My brain is already alerting me. I want different. Just need to learn how to go out and do that. What's a good goal weight for 60 days? Anywhere from a half a pound to 2 pounds a week. That is tried and true. 2 pounds don't make you better. Like one of the things I like to tell people is, if you have 100+ pounds to lose, you're probably going to lose a little faster when it comes to raw pound weight compared to someone who might be who's in their 160s or 170s, who are just needing to lose 10 to 20 pounds, which we have a lot of people that just need to lose 10 to 20 pounds. We have a lot of people that need to lose all kinds of weight, 100 pounds, 200 pounds, 30 pounds, 70 pounds, whatever it is. But people lose the percentage at the same rate. So let's say you're going to need to lose you're going to lose 2 pounds per week. You're probably losing the same percentage of your overall body weight at 2 pounds per week as someone who's smaller than you, who's losing at a half a pound a week. So this is one of the things that when you are diet culture promotes a lot of fast weight loss and watching people lose large amounts of weight and stuff. And so it becomes very normalized to us that faster is better, or that big numbers and all this other stuff is so important. It's not that. What is more important is set a goal you feel reasonably comfortable with. And once you set that goal, then set all of the actions that you're going to do to get that goal in place, because it's what you do is what gets you the goal. And I would much rather all of you spend your next 60 days thinking about every day, measuring against how did I show up for myself today? How did I talk to myself today? When I wanted to waste food, how did I show up for myself in that moment? When I knew that the bottle of wine was going to like grow lips and talk to me from the refrigerator today, how did I handle that moment? I want us thinking more about how we're handling the things that we do for weight loss, because when you get better and better and better at handling things, at the end of 60 days, it's really hard to miss your goal. But what I watch most people do is get so focused on a number, and they only focus on the number, and they forget to watch all the little things that it takes to lose weight. Let me show you something real quick. I hope I can find it easily. Hang on. I've got my flip chart over here. I was teaching this the other day to my members. And it's really important. Here's what we have to do to lose weight. Okay, I'm going to give you the list of things that in 60 days, if you did this, you'd for sure lose weight. Number one, you have to keep trying. No one at the end of 60 days who quits will have lost their weight. Number two, we have to pick ourselves up. Like every single time you want to tell yourself you're not good enough, every single time you want to tell yourself this won't work or whatever, you have to pick yourself up and tell the old you thinking what the new you is going to think. You have to be learning the next 60 days. You have to be learning about your triggers, your environment, what foods work for you, which foods you need to take a break from, which foods that you're going to practice with. I put listen to no BS. You need to, like, the next 60 days, you need to be listening to no BS instead of listening to the Skinny Taste Facebook group. The Weight Watcher people, the people in the break room who were like, for sure you're overweight because of the potatoes on your plate. We have to find ways to make things easy for 60 days. You've got to be finding ways to make things easier. This has to be part of your plan instead of finding all the reasons and excuses as to why it's going to be hard, why it's going to be like the last time, why it's not going to work. A lot of y'all are too fucking good at coming up with all the reasons why shit won't work instead of like, I need to get better at finding out how to make things easier on myself. And most of the time that means you've got to change how you think. You got to pivot your brain. When old you, like one of the biggest things you got to do the next 60 days, when old you thinking starts, how many times are you willing to use your new you thinking? How many times? That's the question. Patience with yourself. You got to do patience. You are not going to get it all right. We talked about the phases of change. Some of this stuff's going to click. Some stuff's going to go under the radar. And you've got to be patient and not down on yourself. I knew it wouldn't work. I knew I'd forget. I always screw up. How are you going to be practicing patience? We got to notice all that thinking. You've got to check in with others. For all my no BS people, you know we put you in accountability groups. You have the Facebook group. You have our coaches to ask questions to and ask coaches. You need to be checking in with people. Weight loss is a lonely fucking job. Do not try to do it by yourself. Because here's the problem. I would let all of you do it on your own. And I would say, like, you know what? Nobody needs to join No BS. But the problem is that there's one person that you have to check in with every day, and that's you. And until you rebuild your self-concept to be a cheerleader, to be compassionate, to love you, to see the best in you, to see your possibility, to reroute you all the time to where you're going to go, you need other people who will believe in you when you don't. So you need those check-ins. You got to be able to ask questions. Y'all, I'm going to tell you right now, I've given you a fuck ton today. We have talked about all kinds of things. And you're going to leave here tomorrow and your old brain is going to be like, where are we going, girl? Come on now. let's think about all of our old diet crutches. And, you know, she made sense yesterday, but that newness is worn off. And let's go check and see what Skinny Taste is talking about. You are coming along with you for the ride. And you're going to need to be able to ask some questions. Your brain right now is not primed and loaded with logic and reasoning. Mine is, my coaches are, and my community is. You're going to need a place to ask questions. You're also, for the next 60 days, you got to be able to shut down that negative self-talk when you hear it. I taught you how to do it today. Old you versus new you thinking all day long. And the last thing is, you got to be trying things for 60 days. You got to try it when you think it's not good enough. You got to try it before you think it's going to work. You got to try it when everybody's telling you potatoes are going to make you fat. You got to try it when no one believes in you. This is what we have to do to lose weight. This is actual weight loss. But most of the time, when you ask people, what should I do to lose weight? They're going to say like, cut out potatoes. You should be at the gym. Shit. Me and everybody else, we're over there just getting our Fonda on. People are going to tell you lots of crap about how to lose weight. No one's going to tell you this. This is what has to be happening. And if you're not learning and having this going on, it is no wonder we can't lose weight, because no one gives us this information. So for all of my members, this is the end of our workshop.